We've also set up this morning, you can see we've got more technology sitting around. We're trying to set up to make it available through Zoom. And in particular, the reason we like to do Zoom is for those of you who are at home, if you'd like to share a testimony this morning, you could sign on to Zoom and we could put your face up here on the TV screen and we could hear your testimony here in-house. So this morning, we're going to be a little more constrained in terms of our motion because we have to be in front of the camera for Zoom or in front of that camera for Zoom. And so as people come forward to share a testimony or an announcement, I'd ask you to come here before the podium. We've got a microphone that will catch without you having to handle it. We've got a camera to catch your image for those on Zoom. Right now, I don't think there are any on Zoom, so we're preparing for that. If someone would like to share their testimony, you sign on and open up your chat window, and you and Laura can talk back and forth, and we'll set a time when you can share that testimony. We've got lots going on this morning. We're hopeful for several testimonies. We've got a few scheduled, but we are open to having others of you share. And as I said, you know, it'll be from this place, speaking toward the microphone, so it gets picked up by everybody. There is an opportunity for you in-house to come forward to share a testimony. There's an opportunity online if you're on Facebook and just want to type in a prayer concern or a praise. Again, Laura is kind of playing secretary for me here today, and she'll write those up on 3x5 cards, and I'll be inviting folks to come up and pray for those things, etc. So all of that is going with us. I ask you to bear with us technology-wise. Anytime you plug in new cables, one of them is going to buzz or make some noise, and so we appreciate your patience with that. There's a lag. If you're on Facebook and sign on to Zoom, you'll find that you were 20 seconds behind, and you'll want to mute one or the other so you don't get feedback, but that's all part of learning how to use this technology. We're still going to use Zoom for DNA. In fact, the link, if you want to share your testimony, it is the DNA link. We'll keep that open all the way through DNA today. So if you want to sign on and be part of this through that link, that's how you go about it. Tuesday night, we still have a Zoom Bible study. That's in the book of Acts, and Jack Napoli will be sharing that this Tuesday night at 7:30. Acts chapter 25, so please read that in advance. I continue to encourage you to consider a possible role in Food Pantry. We are currently meeting on the second and fourth Fridays. Those are our delivery days, and we have Food Pantry those days. At this point, we don't have sufficient volunteers to continue to do the first or fifth Fridays. Third Friday is always off anyway because we serve on the third Saturday. So all of those things, if you'd like to share in a Food Pantry, we'd love to have some more help in that. And you can contact foodpantry@amherstbaptist.com, and that will get to Carol Young and myself. So this morning, one last announcement. Because of COVID, we're not passing offering plates, as we've talked about several times. There are boxes on your way out. If you've brought your offering this morning or if you want to give online, that can be done. There's a link on our webpage. You can also use your online banking through your bank directly. Not that we're money grubbing. God's been very faithful, and you guys have been very faithful and generous through this time of not even meeting together, but our expenses are all covered. God's been gracious, and so I just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to what God's called you to do in that regard. Now have a special announcement concerning Children's Church. Wendy Hauenstein, if you'd come on up and share with us, and as she's coming, let's just open in prayer as well. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here together today. We pray that you would show yourself powerful and faithful and present, and that we would learn more and more about who you are and how to serve you well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wendy, please.
Good morning. It's so good to see you. I am excited to be a part of Children's Church. We are going to be ministering to children from the ages of 4 to 2nd grade during the worship time. I encourage you, if you feel comfortable with that, to come. It's a time of learning about God. Today's lesson is striking me more than I thought it was going to be. I was all excited yesterday, and I was all ready. I still am ready, but I'm talking about the first day of creation. How God separated the darkness and made light. We have all had times in our lives which have been dark. And I just want you to know, in my heart right now, I'm going through some things with my mom, and it's all good because you know what? He's the light. So go to the Lord in all that you have. And this just struck me as I was sitting there, so I'm sorry, but I'm very blessed. So if you're ready to come, I'm ready to teach. So hope to see you soon.
Which ages did you say that?
4th through 2nd grade.
Thank you. 4 years old through second grade. If you'd like to join Wendy for Children's Church now, you'll go on out. And you'll be back at the end of the service because we have something else for our kids as we start up our Sunday school this morning. Again, if you're on the live stream and have a prayer concern and would like to share, I have a couple that have already come in. I'd like to share those with you now, and we'll take a moment to pray. This morning is going to be kind of stop and go. As something comes up, as an issue is lifted before us, we'll take time to pray for it when that's appropriate. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. Pat Gordon online, thanks Pat for getting back to us. She's asked for a prayer for the health of our country, both spiritually, politically, and also for health, for the COVID, and obviously also for the spiritual health of our country. We'd pray for those things. And then over the past several weeks, when we've had these opportunities for prayer concerns, Sue Puff has raised specific names that she was asking that the folks would come to know Christ, both family and friends. A couple weeks ago, we prayed for an open door for salvation for a person named Mark, and Sue says a door has opened. And so we want to praise God that he is at work in response to our prayers, in line with our prayers, as we pray in accordance with his will, for those who don't know him to come to know him. He answers those prayers. So let's take a moment to pray for these two, and then we'll Olivia will sing us a lead with another song. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together as a family today, that we can connect with one another through the online process, through Zoom, those who are here, particularly those who are first time back. We thank you that you've made us confident, that you've given us good health. We pray that you continue to protect us in that way. Lord, as Pat has asked, we pray for our nation. We thank you that you are sovereign over all kingdoms, all empires, all kingdom of men. The Most High is ruler. And so we thank you that you are in that position and you care for us. We do pray for our nation, for political health. Lord, we seem to be very, very divided, very angry, very divisive even. And so we pray for your spirit to calm and that we in particular as your people would be a calm voice. We would be a voice of reason and compassion, and that we would seek your face in all of that. We pray for our nation's health, for the outbreaks of COVID and other issues as we approach the flu season. We ask for your care and your favor in all of those things. Lord, we pray for the spiritual health of our country, that we might come to know you more fully, that we might bow before you and ask you and surrender to what it is you want to do in our nation. Lord, we thank you for your answered prayer for this friend of Sue Puff. Might even be family member, I'm not sure, I don't remember the connection. But you're at work there. We thank you for an open door. We pray that you'd continue to open that door, to soften his heart, to open his mind and open his ears to your word. Give Sue opportunity to proclaim your grace and gospel. And we look forward to the testimony of his salvation. And for others that Sue has mentioned in the past, and new names that she has mentioned today, I believe. So we just bring these all before you, knowing that it is your work to be done, your kingdom to be built, and your name to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Olivia? Thank you to Olivia for leading this morning. As you might know, Pastor Eric had knee surgery on Tuesday. We weren't sure how that was going to work out, so Olivia has taken the lead. Thank you. Eric's still playing the drum over there, if you heard that. And Nikki's on guitar, and our normal worship team as well. Want to thank them, encourage them in their service. As Jerry Bowden shared, she has a testimony to share this morning. As she's coming, I wanted to just let you know how the amazing race went yesterday. We had a great day. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. We had 50 participants, 8 teams, 35 racers, I believe it was. And just a great, great time of fun, kind of all over Cheektowaga, Depew area. I don't know if that's the right neighborhoods, but that's generally where we were. And it was just a great day. I'm sorry for those of you who missed it. Put it on your calendar for next year, and we'll include more of you. Jerry, if you'd come ahead, just want to share what's going on and how God's showing his sovereignty and grace.
Morning, all. So glad to be here. So I told Pastor Scott I had this one little short testimony, but now I actually have three little short testimonies. Some of you have been praying for my foot to heal. I have anyway, been limping. So I ended up, God is sovereign. I'm just praising him for that, really. But I went to a physical therapist, and he's been working on me. But cool part, I mean, it's getting a little better. Cool part, I got to share the Lord with him this week, which was really, really good. So praise God for, you pray for my foot, and God, again, draws people to himself in small ways we don't expect. So praise God. The second thing is, many of you have been suffering and challenged, as I have, with not being able to visit your loved one in a nursing home. So my mom's in a nursing home at DeGraff, and she's fine. I get reports and all that, and she's fine. And DeGraff has been very, very low on any COVID cases, so it's really good. But I miss her. Now, my mom also has dementia, so she doesn't even, I don't think, misses anybody. I'm never sure when I do go and look through a window if she recognizes me or not. And so I haven't seen her in almost 2 months. And then Friday, it opened up, and I was able to go and look through the window. And I, again, now might hurt my other foot because I had to kind of be a mountain goat and climb on all their outdoor equipment to get to her window. So anyway, it was a pain in the butt. But she was laying over in her chair. She couldn't see. The roommate's trying to help her. There wasn't anybody in her room yet to help. And I'm like, okay, but I see her, and she's okay, even though she's half laying over. Well, finally they get to her, and they get her, and I tell you, the minute she got her head and her eyes toward the window, she got the biggest smile, and I was so, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, just, my heart needed that, you know, so he is sovereign, and he's doing his thing, and she's fine, but I needed it, you know, so I just thank God. And before I left, there must have been like 8 smiles. And I'm like, maybe she does remember me. You know, you just don't know. But I was thrilled. And I still am thrilled. So praise God. So if you were suffering and, you know, with that whole separation thing, God is sovereign. And he's doing things inside of them that we don't know. The last thing I wanted to just say is, I've been working at home. I work mostly on computer, and that's okay, but I'm a safety manager, and not being at the building for 6 months is making me crazy. It's been making me crazy the whole time. And again, is God sovereign? Yes, he's sovereign. I wish he'd move my bosses, you know. But God is sovereign. And what that's done, because I'm at home and I'm working, but there isn't much work to do, so I have many free hours out of my week, I have been released by God from my regular job to have time to work on our Sheridan Parkside Life Center nonprofit organization. And I'm doing a lot of back-end stuff. I'm on the board of directors, which is, you know, just a position kind of thing, you know, to help make serious decisions, I guess, and direction. But I'm able to work on the website, and I'm able to work on marketing, and I'm able to work on a lot of other things that I'm, you know, skilled at. So I'm thankful. And that's and I told my boss too. I said, yeah, he won't, no, we can't let you go to work yet. And I said, well, just so you know, you are kindly supporting the nonprofit of Sheridan Parkside Life Center by letting me have all these hours to work for them. So I'm just praising God for that. He's sovereign. He knows I need to serve in some way, and he's making it that way. And nobody's gotten hurt at my work. So that's good.
Great.
Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. Jack, if you'd come ahead, and Jason, if you'd head down this way as well. We'll stay socially distant up front here. We have a couple other prayer concerns that have come in, and so I've asked different folks to pray for those things, and more are coming, so stay tuned. Jack, go ahead.
Well, good morning, folks. You know our good friend and brother, Dan Fergeli. He's a big fellow that usually sits in that corner of the church, and he has ongoing problems for many years, but now he has even more serious problems that actually caused him to land up in Kenmore Mercy Hospital, and he's had some serious spinal cord injuries, so he'll be in the hospital for another 10 to 14 days due to the trauma. And so he wants to thank everyone who has known about that and has been praying for him on this issue, and I'd like to continue to pray for him, and I encourage you to pray for him until we finally see him again, you know, in his position there at the church. So Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for our brother Dan, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness, his willingness to serve. Thank you, Lord, for his part in the prayer chain. And Lord, we're bringing our petitions before your mighty throne regarding Dan himself. So Lord, we just ask you, Lord, you touch him in a special way, Lord. Touch his spine, allow him to be able to recover from this thing completely. Allow healing to take place. Lord God, you are the great Jehovah Rophi, the God that makes whole and complete. We ask you, Lord, for your touch upon Dan. Minister to him, Lord, as only you can, Lord. Minister to him and give him the peace that he needs at this time. Be with Caroline also, Lord, and minister to her through this time where they're away from each other because of the COVID. And we just thank you, Father, for bringing them together and bringing them both, Lord, in the presence of our view in the church in a very short time. For this, Lord, and we have confidence knowing that you are with them, Lord, so we just graciously leave them in your hands, Lord, anticipating great and mighty things to take place with our brother Dan. And we give you all praise and the glory for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to be with you today. My name is Jason. Many of you know who I am. A member here at Amherst Baptist and also a missionary with CREW for the last several years. I was reading in the Psalms. I've been reading in the Psalms lately, so I thought I'd read some of Psalm 62, which I read this week. I hope it can be an encouragement to you. It's the Psalm of David, Psalm 62. I'll read 1 through 8. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So there's a lot of repetition in this psalm, and I think it's a great reminder for us that God is our salvation. He saves us in physical needs and in the midst of pandemics. He's our Savior, but ultimately pointing to our spiritual salvation in Jesus Christ. And also, he's our fortress. He's our rock. That's such a huge idea in the Psalms and throughout the Bible, that God is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our rock. Jesus is our rock. And so I hope that this psalm can encourage us this morning as we give time to give testimony to God and his faithfulness. Surely he is our salvation. Surely he is our rock and our fortress. And so I wanted to pray firstly for Gary Kukli and his family. I've gotten to know Gary in the last 5 years since we've come back from China. We lived in China for a long time. Gary's been involved with International Student Ministry for a long time. And he served with us on Wednesday nights, and it's been a real joy to get to know him. He has a real heart for international students. But his grandson, Hugo, isn't that a great name? Hugo Kukli was just born with a tumor on his lung, and the lung was removed. And so the baby is improving. He's on less supplemental oxygen. He started nursing a little bit, and he's taking a bottle. So if Hugo keeps eating and gaining weight, he'll be sent home soon. So he wanted to give praise to God for that and thank everyone for their prayers. So let me take some time to pray for Hugo right now. God, we thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you that you are our rock in salvation. You are our fortress, and we shall not be shaken. God, we trust in you at all times. We pour out our hearts before you. You are a refuge for us, and we know that you are a refuge for Hugo. You are a savior of Hugo. You are the protector of his life, and we do give you praise and thanks for allowing him to improve and do well. And we pray that he could go home soon and gain weight and continue to take a bottle and nurse. God, that your healing hand would be upon him. God, it's in moments like this we realize how little we control and how much we need you. Just like David crying out in Psalm 62, how much he needed you. These moments show how much we need you. And we do pray that you would just take Hugo into your hands and heal him and protect him now. So we thank you for the Kukli family, and we lift them up to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I wanted to give a little bit of an update as well about the University of Buffalo. I'm a missionary there. I work primarily with international students. And to give you an idea, it's a funny story. The best way I can describe it is the first day of class, I roll up at 11:15 a.m. and I'm like, oh man, what's it gonna be like? What's it gonna be like? Usually on the first day of class, Brian Toffelmeyer can attest to this, you have to park a mile away at a very distant lot and you'll get the last parking spot, especially if you wait till 11 to get to campus on the first day of class, and then you walk in. Well, I pull up at 11:15 a.m. into the faculty lot right by the student union, if you've ever been there, and there's 200 parking spots open. So that is a picture of what the University of Buffalo is like right now. It is dead. And a normal day they have 22,000 people walking through the student union every day. Right now it's around 6,000 people walking through there in a whole day, maybe even less. So the university is still functioning. Dr. LaFountain is a professor here in biology. I think all of his classes are online. So most of the classes, students are taking classes online. And as far as international students, about 70% of the new international students, I think, have not even come here. They're taking classes online in their countries. As far as the COVID numbers, the Governor Cuomo has said a number. If the number goes over 100 cases on campus, they'll close the campus down and go totally remote learning. Right now, we're at 58 as of this morning. So in some ways, that's remarkable. That shows that UB is actually trying. Like the University of Alabama, I think they had 1,200 cases the first week. So UB has 58. They're actually doing well. And we see the hard work of trying to distance the campus, depopulate the campus. But it's hard. It's hard with 18 to 22-year-olds, right, to keep them in check. I think a lot of the cases are happening in the University Heights, so we can be praying. So what does this mean? I think it's our ministry is very different. I think at this point last year we had met 400 or 500 new international students. Right now we probably met about 30 new international students. But you know, in ministry it's you got the deep and wide. You can have big events where you have a lot of people come to, but it's hard to go deep with that number of students. So our numbers are, you know, we had a weekly meeting where we had small groups. We had about 25 students there. There's a lot of students that we've connected with over the last few years that are still around. And so I think the numbers aren't going to be as wide, but I think we're going to have opportunities to go very deep with them. And so I'm excited about that. I think there's just tremendous opportunities still, especially because the students are bored. They want to do things. They want to do fun things. So we'll have some opportunities to do weekend activities and small groups, and so you can continue to pray for us. How does our Awana chat ministry look like on Wednesday night? So our church for the last 5 years has done a tremendous ministry to Chinese scholars, visiting scholars from China. These are professors and PhD students who come to UB for a year to do research. Of course, we know Rima and Herbert this last year. Oh, they've been here for the last couple of years. They've been a real blessing to us, as well as many. Well, right now, the United States government has closed off that visiting scholar visa. So there's no new visiting scholars from China coming to the United States. So that visa it's done for now. I think that's related to COVID. And so I think our Wednesday nights are going to look different. I think even if there are a few Chinese scholars around, they might not want to meet in person. They're a little bit more nervous about meeting in person because of the pandemic. So I think what we'll have to do is just continue to have like online Zoom meetings where we teach the Bible and build relationships and practice English with them. So actually, Jack Napoli and some others in the church have been doing that throughout the summer. and we'll encourage them to continue to do that. And the amazing thing is some of them have returned to China, and they're still meeting with us online. So our church, think about this, is still reaching Chinese professors all around the world through modern technology. So our ministry is going to look a little bit different this year as far as in person, but I still think there's going to be some great opportunities as we meet with these students online. And actually, we've been doing this for years. Laura Gillette, was it Joey and his mom, Michelle. So they went back to China, and for months and months and years, you would meet with them online. 6 years going over the Awana verses with Joey. So that's actually incredible. That's what we should be doing, especially when these international students come to us, but to continue that ministry online with them. And so Amherst Baptist has done very, very well. I estimate in the last 5 years, we've shared the gospel with well over 500 Chinese visiting scholars, over 500. And we've seen several come to faith. We've seen several baptized, many in Jack's pool. It seems like we're always baptizing them in the Napoli's backyard pool. So I think it's a time for us to pause to thank God what he's done through our church. It's been remarkable. It's beyond what I thought it would be. And just to continue to pray that could continue into the future. Pray that the politics wouldn't get so bad between the two countries that the students wouldn't be coming, but that's out of our control to some degree. But we'll just continue to pray. So I'll pray for that. Yeah, let me pray. God, we just thank you for how you're at work. You truly are our salvation. You are our rock. And I pray that we would pour our hearts before you today. You are a refuge. And we pray for the students at University of Buffalo, the students from America, the students from around the world, that you would just continue to draw students to yourself, and that they too would turn to you and say that you're the God of their salvation. That's our prayer. And that's why we do what we do here at this church, is to be a gospel witness, to be a light to this community, to Sheridan Parkside, to Willow Ridge, and to the University of Buffalo for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue on with that. Jason, I just wanted to say, Psalm 62, Jason probably doesn't even know this, but for the last almost 30 years now, 62:5 has been our motto for youth ministry. That's where we come from, the great expectations, our X2 youth ministries. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope or my expectation comes from him. He alone is my rock and salvation. So that touches hard upon my heart. And as we look at our neighbor over here, our University of Buffalo, we definitely want to be lifting them up as far as I know Jason's already prayed for them. And we want to know, Jason, maybe you can just share with us this. I mean, we have a couple people who have been intimately involved with the ministry. Is there any other kind of need that you have directly, either to voice this in front of the mission committee here that's around here, or to the individuals?
Yeah, I don't know if I can think of anything off the top of my head. There will be some opportunities for specific outreaches that we'll be doing. We'll be doing hiking in Curry coming up, so potentially chipping in some money to help buy some good curry. We know some people in the Tamil speaking church. Maybe we could coordinate that would be a really helpful thing. There's some good cooks in that church that can make some good curry. And also this year for Thanksgiving, we won't be doing a huge event together, but what we want to do is to host students. So we're forced into hosting, which I think hosting's better anyway. So if there's anyone here in the church who would like to host one or two international students, that's
in
a definite possible
home around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we're thinking like the Saturday before Thanksgiving through Thanksgiving. If you would like to do it on Thanksgiving Day, you can. Or if you're going to be doing something that day, you can do it before then. The students won't really care necessarily. So that's what we're thinking, the Saturday before through the day of, or even afterwards. We're looking for people to host some students.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah, let's continue to pray for University of Buffalo as a whole. And Father God, we look to this as one of our main spokes of mission in this church, this University of Buffalo. Lord, we pray for the professors that are there that are making difficult decisions, Lord God, that are trying to decide how to best serve the students and stay healthy. And so, Lord God, we pray for wisdom. We pray for the administration, Lord God. Give them wisdom. Help them to know how to care for the educational as well as the psychological and the emotional needs of students, as many of them are far from home, whether it be across the seas or whether it be from New York City. A vast number of them are away from family. And so I pray, Father God, that even today, that you would just meet with and use the ministries, Jason's ministry, but also the ministries that are connected to him, the people that are connected, which are various and many that are touching the lives, Lord God, ISI and others that are speaking into the lives of students. I pray, Father God, that you give them an overwhelming sense of your grace and your wisdom so that they know how to speak, when to speak, when to build relationship. And we thank you for this, Lord God, that you've empowered Jason and other men and women of faith, Lord God, to speak into the darkness. We pray this, that you may be glorified and lifted up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, Jason. Let me continue on by bringing good news as far as, when we read that Psalm 62, it says, "Rest, O my soul, in God, and have great expectation," or my hope, and that hope is, we've talked about many times, that hope is not just like a wish upon a star, it is a hope like my expectation. I hinge my life on this, my expectation, my hope is in you alone, our God. And so when we look at the Sheridan Parkside, and Jerry has already done a great job of kind of introducing that to us, some of us in this room are not aware of the ministry that is burgeoning there in Sheridan Parkside, about 7-8 minutes down the thruway from here. Sheridan Parkside is a place in Tonawanda that is one of the least serviced, as far as income goes, it's one of the most deprived groups of people in our entire region. And so that being part of our hometown here, in my hometown, Tonawanda, the last couple of years, we have sought ways to minister and to lift up that people group. COVID has definitely been a little bit of a difficulty, because we had hoped over this past spring to really open up the facility there at 78 Pyle Court. But God has, and his sovereignty, has used this time to greatly influence a number of different situations. And Scott asked me to bring that to your attention. One of them, of course, in the past year is that we have this great board of directors, both Eddie Cuffell and Jerry Bowden, stepping forward to doing a great job. And Jerry having the extra time has been fantastic. She keeps kicking us in the tail and keeps on saying, "Let's go, let's go, let's get this going." She is a great inspirer of that. And so I say that publicly, Jerry, I totally appreciate that and love that about you, as frustrating as it can be at times. But you know how that is. We love those who kind of urge us forward, right? In the meantime, God has just done some fantastic things. We have been in this waiting. Wait, oh my soul. And waiting is not an easy thing for me oftentimes. When I have this vision, I thought, it's just going to go. It's just going to keep out. What can't go right? Everything is the answer. Everything can't go right. At different times, different things have kind of fallen. And it's been somewhat of a struggle at times to try to say, God, you've called us you've called me, you've called my family, you've called our church to this. Where are you going to take us? And so we have seen in this past 6 months some fantastic ways that God has just knocked back on our hearts and said, I'm still in this. I'm doing things my way. I'm doing things my time. It's now been a couple of years where I've been like, God's time is better. I know we say that, but there's a real truth to that. I hope you understand that God's timing is spectacular. And so we've been in talks with the Lindy Corps, that is Praxair. It's right down there next to the Sheridan Parkside projects. We've been talking with them for more than a year and a half that I started talking with the CEO there. And we've met on many occasions. He's brought several teams over to the place and has gotten a look at what they're very excited about what's going on. But it's just been this time. And of course, then COVID happens and everybody's shut out. They don't even have their thing going. None of their administrative staff has been in the building for a long, long time. And so recently, in the last couple of weeks, they've met again. And finally, they called me up and they said, you know what, we want to meet with you because we want to hand you a check. And we want to see this thing get going. And so they sent me, they sent over the liaison there, a couple of people, and the CEO came as well, and just took a look at the place one more time, and said, here's a check to get this thing going. It was $15,000 that they handed in a check. Beautiful. And that's going to help us get, amen. That's a good, nice little chunk there that's going to help us get drywall and finished up, and the construction guys who are now completed. We're just in this kind of finishing aspect where it's like things just need to kind of keep on falling into place, and they are, and we now have some money to kind of seed into that. In the meantime, nearly a year ago, actually, I can't remember time-wise anyways, but a person from the town contacted me and said, you know what, the federal government grants money to projects in housing development. And I think you need to do this, and you probably got to get this in tomorrow. This is usually the way it happens to me. They always tell me like the day before, like the grant is due, right? So I end up spending usually my day off, you know, spending time just trying to write this thing up and get it in front of the people. I walked it into the HUD office there, the housing development for Town Tonawanda, which happens to be right there in Sheridan Parkside, and was able to talk with the person. And I said, well, we'll put this forward to the board of Tonawanda, and perhaps they'll like it. And if so, then there's a long process to this. And, you know, the government still has to okay it and all this. So that went on, and then COVID hit. And you just don't hear anything. Nobody's working. Nobody's in their offices, you know, so I can't hear anything. We were supposed to hear back from the federal government in April. And finally, I just happened to be over at working a little bit over at Sheridan Parkside, and I walked into the one office. I just thought, what's the big deal? Yeah, I'm just going to ask them, you know, see where this grant situation is. The guy, Jim, who is overseeing now all the housing developments for Tonawanda, has gotten to know me in the past couple of years. And he said, yeah, well, let me look that up. I think things are going pretty well with it. He looks it up and he says, yeah, you got everything you asked for. Amen. It's like $16,400 for the kitchen, just for the kitchen. And I said, can I have that in paper? I don't really want to walk out of here and look like a fool, because it's like, I believe what you're saying, but I just like to have some paperwork to prove this out so we can say we can move forward with it. So again, that's the federal government that has now looked at the Life Center as a 501c3 and has said, you know, we believe in what the town of Tonawanda as well has said this. We believe in what you're doing. Praxair wants to be a part of ongoing encouraging education and encouraging different forms of job application, that kind of stuff. So in this next month or so, as we finish up the drywalling and we finish up the flooring and we get these things settled out, we are still hoping that fall of 2020, of all times in our nation's history, 2020, the fall, could see the opening of this this facility, and then the church that we hope will grow up inside of that place as well. So a week from tomorrow, the sanctuary ceiling should go in. We have our contractor doing the drywalling for that, and I just had somebody today say that they'd be interested in helping out with some of the other kind of drywalling type stuff. So the Lord is working. As you want to participate, this is the time for us to start thinking about the clothing pantry that's going to be there, the laundromat that is going to, the free laundromat that we already have. Don't forget, right behind those curtains are three units of washers and dryers that are going to go into that place. We have room for two more sets of those, and people are excited about coming. COVID has definitely been complexity, but it is not something that God can't see us through. So, yes. Amen. So there, right now, because we have this grant for the kitchen equipment, we have to get several bids per item, refrigeration units and such. Side note, because of COVID, I've been going through the drive-in at Panera over in Delaware. And every time I go through there, of course, thinking sharing parkside things, there's this gigantic stainless steel sink sitting in the corner of their drive-thru. And every time I go through, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that's doing there, you know? Because that's exactly, it looks almost exactly the sink that I could use in the situation I'm talking about. And so I keep on going through. Well, 2 weeks ago, I go through, and the thing has been pulled out of the corner, and it's sitting there. I pull up to the window, and I said, are you guys throwing that thing away? And he's like, yeah, I think we are. Here's the manager. He was standing right behind her. The manager steps up. He's like, yeah, I have a guy that's coming to pick that up, but if he doesn't pick it up, you can come for it. So I pull, if you guys can figure geographically what I'm talking about, I pull out of Panera and across the street to Tim Hortons. Go figure, my son wanted something from Tim Hortons. So he goes into Tim Hortons, and as he's in Tim Hortons, the manager calls me and says, it's yours, come and pick it up. It is a 10-foot long, 3-deep sinks, stainless steel kitchen sink that fits exactly the place that we're supposed to go. Amen. So, that being the case, we need that times a whole bunch more, right? So we need some good kitchen equipment. And I know there are people that are looking, but let's pray for that. Perhaps, Dad, you can come. Dad is part of our church board as well. And there are several, there's about 10 folks from our church and other churches that are part of the church side of that ministry. But why don't you come, and he's one of our trustees, actually, for the church. So.
Father, thank you, Lord, for miracle upon miracle. God, we proclaim that you are sovereign, and yes, you know, you show yourself great and mighty all the time. Father, we thank you for the successes that have been taking place, and we acknowledge, Lord, that they are from your hands and from your hands only. We just thank you, Lord, for your continual work on this project that you have organized and set up for us, Lord. We just thank you for the time that there will be the community services taking place in that building, Lord, and then also church services that will be taking place in that building. We just thank you, Father, for your provision for all of these things that have come to pass. We thank you, Lord, for that big sink. We thank you for the grants and the other monies that have come through for this, Lord. And again, we look at it and saying, thank you, Lord, it comes from your hands and from your hands only. From different sources, but yet from your hands. So, Father, we just ask you for your continual work in this area, Lord. Magnify yourself, Lord, through this community. Lord, we know that you love the folks that are in the Sheridan Parkside community. So, Father, we just ask that we may be that instrument that would be going in there to allow your vision to be seen by all. May they see Jesus through all of this, Lord. May many come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in that area. So, Lord, we'd ask you to bring in the harvest, Lord. Help us to be that harvester, Lord, that would bring in the harvest of many souls, Lord, for your glory. We thank you again for this now in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Jack. We have one more testimony that I know of. We have a few different prayer concerns. I'd like to just take a deep breath. Olivia, I'm going to ask you to sing whatever next song you'd like to sing in there, just for us to rest in what we've just heard about what God is doing among us. There is so much happening. There are some more prayer concerns we'll share, and then Karen Daniel has a testimony she would like to share. I would not be surprised if we go a few minutes past 11. That will be fine from my point of view. I hope it's good from yours as well. But if we could sing one more song, and then we'll kind of get through those prayer concerns, and Karen's testimony will be first thing after the song is over. Okay? As we continue our time together, I just had an email from Mary Sadler. Some of you remember Mary. Karen, as you come. Just wanted to read a few excerpts. As we've spent the last few weeks of our service, we've spent a significant amount of time in prayer. And Mary has commented toward, not necessarily toward our prayer time in the service, but just in prayer in general, and I'd like to share this for you. I'd really like our church family to know how much I sincerely love them and how dear they are to me. I read all of the prayer requests and would also like our church family to know that I pray for each and every one of them. Please remind our church family for me, this is Mary speaking, of the utmost and extreme importance of both the power of prayer and also of the need of prayer, the need to pray, not only for one another, but also for the world as well. Also, that prayer is simply a conversation with God, pouring out our hearts to Him, and then taking the time to be still and listen, for He often speaks in a still, small voice. For those who are too ill or even too depressed or discouraged to pray, kindly remind them that the Spirit intercedes for us and that our Lord, seated at the right hand of our most loving Heavenly Father, is always making intercession on our behalf. Just saying, "Father, help me," is a prayer if that's all we're capable of. God listens, God hears, and God is always at work, though we may not recognize His work or understand His ways. Finally, this scripture: "The God of glory thunders. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. He is enthroned as King forever." In His humble service, Mary Sadler. Okay.
Good morning, all. I'm small and insignificant, I feel, after everyone today who has spoken and shared their hearts and their stories. However, I'm going to be brief, but I would like to share James 5 with you. And this is James 5, 13 through 20, if you don't mind. This all came about, this scripture came about through a women's Bible study that I've been part of on Wednesday mornings with a number of you ladies here in the church. And this day that we were studying, and it's the very end of James, I'll continue the story after I read it for you. So it's 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That has become my refrigerator magnet. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. When we read this, I was struck. God struck me. I wept. In my mind, I'm doing, March 2017 to 18, March 2018 to March 2019, 2019 to 2020, 3 years, okay, March to April, April to May, May to June, June to July, I'm using my fingers, July, oh, August, 3 years, 6 months. It has been that long that there had been a drought in our family. Some of you know the circumstances.
I'm not going to go into them here, but there had been a drought in my relationship with my husband, in every aspect of our lives. And I was given a gift reading this scripture that drought was over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know that I was the fervent prayer. I don't know that it was just the time, but I know that this scripture gave me that gift. I know that my husband, Shorty, voluntarily started coming back to church. He started voluntarily showing up for food pantry for delivery days, which he had not done, not in 3 years and 6 months. And I just pray for his soul. I pray that he accepts the forgiveness of God and that your prayers, trust me, your prayers, the concert of your prayers saved his life and found him. And please don't stop praying. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me share. And for the ladies who were with me that day, my heart is all yours. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. She warned me we might need Kleenex. Just have a few more prayer concerns to share. And Yvonne, if you'd like to share, you can head up this way. If not, that's okay too. I have one, and then Rich Baker, and then Yvonne, and then Dan, if you'd come with the prayer concern I gave you, and then also the moving up issues. Adrian Petty, who's a member of our church from years back, now lives down south in Virginia, Carolina? Maryland. I was, you know, within 100 yards. She has two sons. She has several kids, but two sons. One of them is in boot camp right now, Michael, and she's we could pray for him. But her son, Sam, Laura just connected with her, and she's asking that we pray for Sam's emotional health, for wisdom with medication that he's dealing with. Pray that Sam will continue to speak of the things of God and declare a strong commitment to God. Pray for Sam's focus to not be scattered, and pray for his safety. So I want to take a moment to pray for the Petty family, and in particular, Michael and Sam. Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you're at work in our lives and through us and in the lives of those who have been part of our church family for years past. We thank you for Adrian and her raising her kids to know you. We pray for Michael as he's at boot camp, that you'd keep him safe, that you'd strengthen him, that he would hold fast to his knowledge of you, and that you would deepen his walk with you. We pray for Sam and all these concerns that Adrian has lifted, for his wisdom with the right medication, for his emotional and mental health, for his connection to you, that he would continue to speak of you and the things of your grace, that they would not be just words that he knows and a history that he has, but that it would be the life that he lives. We pray that he would not be scattered, but that he would be focused upon you and what you want to do in his life to bring him to full health, that he might serve you and bring glory to your name. We pray that you'd keep him safe. We pray for Adrian, that her role as mom, she would hold fast to you, that she would trust in you, she would wait on you and your timing. And Lord, we look forward to that testimony of you taking care of all these issues for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. We have a prayer request from Sue Puff, as one of our longtime church members here. Sue is asking for her salvation for Alice and John, and she says, "I'm not giving up." So join me in a conversation with God. Father God, we know that you are sovereign in all things. We know that you know who Alice and John are, Lord, even though we don't. Father, you exactly know their need for salvation, dear Lord. You tell us, Lord, that it's not your desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so, Father, we pray that you send people to work in Alice and John's life, to minister to them, to speak truth to them, dear Lord. And, Father, we pray that they would see the light of Jesus Christ and that they would ask for forgiveness of their sins and that they would ask that Jesus would come and reside in their hearts and lives, Lord, and want to serve you and love you all the days of their lives here on earth, dear God. And, Father, we just give this over to you and ask your will be done. And Father, we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So, where are you going?
I lost my voice yelling at traffic yesterday, so Yvonne will talk.
So obviously it's not a coincidence, seeing a theme of trusting in the Lord, waiting in the Lord. An important verse for me has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. It's on my classroom door. Melissa made me this beautiful frame with it. It's in my room. And God is so good. God is so faithful. Two kind of big things that have always been a wish for us, a dream for us, is having a bigger space, having a home that we could invite people into. And we've always kind of been drawn to international students. When we first were married, we were part of ISI. And many of you know Tyler, our unofficially adopted son. And so, you know, COVID came and school was, you know, shut down. And there were so many, like, what ifs. And, you know, we just kind of had to keep telling ourselves, God is good. God is on the throne. Just wait. Just rest in me and wait. And this opportunity came up for us through school, through CCA, not only to have a home and live in a big home that's right next to school, but to be host to international students who are also students at the school. So not only did God bless us with a beautiful daughter, Danielle, God has also given us, at least for this year, two more daughters, Tamia and Joyce. And so the house has just been such a huge blessing, and so many little details in the house, that things that when we thought of having our own home, oh, it would be great to have this, it would be great to have that. It's like God gave us that. And even things we hadn't even thought to ask for, like just these great little personal touches are just, you know, the whole story is just God's hand, God's timing, and it's just been a huge blessing to us. So.
Thank you.
As Dan comes, just want to encourage you that this time, it is not, it's not that we miss the opportunity to hear sermons. We've seen what God can do. We've seen what God is doing. We've seen what God has invited us toward and into. Just see Karen here. I assume the trip was okay and far better than expected. Okay, thank you. So another answered prayer. We won't go into the details of that. Dan, if you'd come. Just remember that God is at work among us and that we together as a family can experience that with joy.
Good morning. We received another prayer request from Donna Taverna. As I think many of you know, Donna's worked with Sunrays Ministries for years, and that ministry is something that's been a part of our church family for years, where we've been able to reach out and assist people in need. Their banquet is this Friday. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to hold this banquet, but it will be held this Friday, and God will be honored, and people will be blessed as a result of it. But we also pray that God will continue to allow that ministry to present Christ to those that are in a season of need and those that really need to hear of his love. So let's pray for that, and then we'll have a closing couple of comments. Lord, we do thank you that you are a God who knows us, a God who loves us, a God who understands our needs. And we thank you, Lord, that through ministries like Sunrays, that you reach out to those that are in a very vulnerable and needy situation. And we thank you for those that care and love on them. We thank you for the Sunrays ministry and for all that it has meant to our church family and to our community. We pray your blessing on this banquet that comes up on Friday and for their continuing service to this community. We ask you, Lord, to be honored through it, and we're grateful for all that's going on there. So we commend them to you and ask you to be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we come to the end of the service, Pastor Scott sort of said this, but just a couple of reflections real quick, and then we're going to be dismissed. You know, we've been through this 6 months or thereabouts of a unique season, but I simply want to say that the church was never closed. Do you agree with that? The church was never closed. We've met in different ways, and God has you know, shifted us about and allowed us to connect in ways we wouldn't have expected. But his work has gone on in ways that maybe we hadn't even imagined, where we've been able to connect with people, reconnect with people, and folks have been blessed. We've witnessed baptisms in this tank right here in this building. We've witnessed people coming to Christ. We've seen people grow. God's at work, and so we can give him great praise. And, you know, as Scott also alluded, you know, we didn't have a formal message today. But I'm reminded of what it says in 1 Peter about we being living stones that are the building blocks of God's kingdom, his church. We are alive, and the sharing of these testimonies today are representative of what God is doing. And so we can give him great praise for that. And so thanks for your participation electronically, through Facebook, through the website, through Zoom, if you've been there, and here in the room. God is good. All the time, God is good. And so we're thankful for that. And I just want to share one last thing before we go. We've started in our communities a new school year at our public schools, at our private schools, some homeschools, a university, and so on. This weekend would typically be, and will be in a different way today, our moving up day for our Sunday school program. Sunday school is the largest continuous ministry that we have here. Every week we meet with adults down to infants, and we have opportunity for people to grow deeper in that. And typically on this first or right after Labor Day Sunday in September, we would have a sort of a Sunday school rally with all the kids, and we'd have kind of a kickoff and move them up. Well, these are different times, aren't they? So we're not going to be doing that in that sort of a way, but we want to at least remind people that today is the day that you move up to your next class. So I want to take just a moment and recognize our Sunday school and DNA leaders that are in the room. For you young people in particular, take a look when I ask people to stand, those that are leading classes, see who your teacher may be, and those of you that are moving on up, you can be a part of that. So we'll start with the pre-K and kindergarten class. Melissa Klee, please stand. Melissa and Catherine Napoli here in the back. Their room is just as you go down the end of the hall and turn to the left. Pre-K, kindergarten, if you're in that age group. I'll mention we don't have a first and second grade class right now. Really, there are no students that are regularly attending that, but as the need arises, we will structure that. I'm going to ask you, Melissa and Catherine, stay standing because I want people to see you, and we're going to add to your numbers here as we go through. Our third and fourth grade class is led by Karen Daniel and by Brianna King, who I don't see here today, but that class also meets with a Zoom Connect. So some are here and some are there, and so the Lord is blessed with that. So our fifth through seventh grade class, Steve and Yvonne Napoli back here, they meet upstairs, the last room, second last room on the left upstairs, so fifth through seventh grade. The high school class, eighth through 12th grade, myself and Catherine are leading that. Catherine, if you'd stand, please. We meet downstairs outside the kitchen. And our next group are our young adults. Pastor Eric leads them. And they've been meeting outside. I don't think that's going to happen today. Otherwise, they're in the old library. So if you're in that age group, please join them. We have a number of adult classes. The women's class is led by Jerry, generally. So Jerry, stand. It's also got a Zoom connection. They meet in the pastor's study. So if you're online and you're a lady and you'd like to connect via Zoom, please do so. That link has been sent out to you, and there will be a class that meets, so please join. Our men's class, led by Brian Bennett, meets downstairs, first door on the right after you get down the stairs. Jack Napoli leads a class right here in the sanctuary. It also, as needed, has a Zoom connection to it. And then our last class is led by Mike Gagnon. Oh, wait, Mike's not in the room, but he also leads it via Zoom. So the folks that are here and meet in the large room outside of the pastor's offices. So first of all, thank you, teachers, leaders, for what you're doing and how you're ministering. And we just want to pray a prayer of commissioning over this ministry and for each of us as we go from here. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you are at work teaching us and training us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray that we bring you honor and glory in that. I thank you for each of these that are serving and teaching and leading classes and have given their time and attention to the training up of those in their care. We ask you, Lord, to build your kingdom. We ask you, Lord, to grow us and mature us in Christ. And we pray your blessing on this Sunday school and DNA year, that it would bring many people to a deeper commitment to you. And we thank you for our time together this morning. As we go from this place, Lord, be honored in our lives. Lead and direct us this week in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.